Welcome. As we gather this Good Friday, we're keenly aware that our world has changed, that we're not able to gather in the same room to contemplate the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But physical distancing doesn't change the reality that we're united as followers of Jesus only because of that sacrifice. The service of shadows you are about to participate in was recorded a couple of weeks ago in full compliance with the guidelines medical authorities had asked us to observe at that time, and we took utmost care to protect the health of all involved. May you sense His holy presence as we journey together toward His cross.
Centuries ago on Good Friday, Christians gathered in a quiet service of shadows and candles to reflect on the suffering and death of Christ. Tenebrae, Latin word for darkness, was the name of the service marked by the use of many candles, symbolizing the light of Christ's presence in our dark world. They were gradually extinguished as the story of His suffering and His death was retold. The tradition was that the service would end as the final moments of the cross were remembered and the last candle extinguished. In silence, the worshippers would leave the church building and not speak again until they had returned home to the front door of their houses. Today we invite you to rediscover the depth of meaning and blessing that such a gathering brings. Like the ancient Tenebrae service, this is not a service of spectacular effects or exhilarating songs of praise. The music and the readings, like the service, are simple. In the growing shadows, we invite you to listen to the still small voice that whispers, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life."
Festival of Unleavened Bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Then, Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him when the crowds weren't around. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it. Hurry and do what you're going to do." None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you, or even to die with you." But Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me."
Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done."
Thank you. this cup away from me. All things are possible for thee.
When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again, and an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood.
Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the Olive Grove. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard. As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for.
Chose to betray the Lord. And why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for?
When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, "Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords." And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him. "Am I some dangerous revolutionary," he asked, "that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns." Then all of his disciples deserted him and ran away. So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up.
Only a man can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain. And only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much.
Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean?" But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Just then, a rooster crowed. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times even knowing me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly.
They took Jesus to the high priest's home. The leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they couldn't find any. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another, made without human hands.'" But even then, they didn't get their story straight. The high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus was silent and made no reply. The high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Blasphemy! Why do we need other witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they shouted. He deserves to die. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time? The council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government, and by claiming he is the Messiah, a king. So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, you have said it. Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you? But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. And Pilate said, I find nothing wrong with this man. Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas, because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus, because he had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Now, it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews? Pilate asked. But the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas, a murderer, instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, then what should I do with this man? You call the king of the Jews? And they shouted back, crucify him! Why? Pilate demanded, what crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him! Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. And all the people yelled back, we will take responsibility for his death, we and our children. So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. And then he turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure.
Sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is
Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. The soldiers offered Jesus wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So, he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe him. He trusted God. So let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Oh, sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown, how pale thou art,
does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me thy favor, assist me with thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me
At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. It is finished." And with those words, he bowed his head and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly is the Son of God."
Thank you. Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath, because it was Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures, which say, "Not one of his bones will be broken," and "they will look on the one they pierced." Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decisions and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea. He'd become a follower of Jesus, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross and wrapped it in the cloth and placed it in his own new tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still.